The world keeps spinning. The planets keep circling around the sun. And Donald Trump will become America's next president. Lansing area residents are responding to last night's election results, even though not all the results are necessarily in. We'll clarify that in just a minute or two. Early this morning, Current State's Kevin Lavery went to Frandor to get some response.
My name is Jamal Davis, and I'm from Chicago. And I just want to say is I do not like the vote, the president election, because I feel that Trump is not for us. I feel that Hillary should have won.
You're from Chicago. Yeah. Illinois was one of the very few blue states in the Midwest.
I know, right? I'm kind of happy though, but I'm not because Trump won.
And what's your name?
Angie.
Thoughts on what happened last night?
I think whatever way it would have went, I probably would have woken up and cried.
Either way. What makes you say that?
Well, I think that these days the two-party system in America kind of wraps us into feeling like we need to vote for one or the other, and both of the candidates are very flawed. But I think we all felt like we were kind of wrapped into having to vote for one or the other in order to stop the one we didn't like.
I'm Tory, man. Childress.
How I feel about it, man? I feel like a lot of people are naive, man. I feel like a lot of people need to wake up and realize what's going on. Honestly, I'm not really for Hillary or Donald Trump. I feel like none of them would have been great presidents for us, but man, I think that stuff's just gonna get worse. And a lot of people don't know what they did. They put a man that is a joke in office, man. He's a joke. You can't take him serious. Nothing that comes out that man's mouth is serious. He can't even answer a proper question, man. You know what I mean? The proper way. So that's how I feel about him. I just think stuff's gonna get real from here. You know what I mean? And this man don't know how to talk to people.
First name's James Newton. I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning and turned on the TV to find out that there has to be a God if Trump won. Thank you.
Well, what some observers called a Republican wave not only catapulted Donald J. Trump to the White House, but returned GOP incumbents, but some Democratic incumbents as well, back to Congress and to the Michigan State House. What does it all add up to? We'll try to penetrate the fog of the morning after with MERS News, Kyle Malin, and Inside Michigan Politics, Susan J. Demas. Thank you very much for being here after a long, long night.
Yeah, thanks for inviting us.
Thanks, Mark.
Hillary, let's try to clear up a couple of details here. Hillary Clinton has conceded, but there are some extraordinary dynamics still in play. For example, CNN has still not called Michigan for Trump. It's apparently tight. Still, Clinton has conceded. Any thoughts on that landscape?
Yeah, and I'll take a stab at that because I spent the last hour or so looking at the precincts that the AP still had outstanding in Wayne County, in Washtenaw County, in Monroe County, and there are a couple other odds and ends out there. Donald Trump will win Michigan. It's just the margin, and it's going to be a tight margin. We're talking around 10,000, probably less votes. If he gets below 7,000, it will probably be the tightest election in Michigan history, going back to 1840. But we don't know that yet. There's seven precincts left in Genesee County, maybe a stray like smattering of stuff in Wayne County and some outstate rural counties, but certainly not enough to give Hillary this state.
We are still digesting reports, Susan, that Hillary Clinton will win the popular vote.
She will.
But that Donald Trump nonetheless clears 270 electoral votes and becomes the next president. It's a lot to unravel. It's an even weirder scenario than at 2 a.m. this morning. Is the country in store for a feverish debate about the Electoral College?
Perhaps. I mean, I remember the last one in 2000 with Bush v. Gore. We didn't see any change then. But Hillary Clinton is probably going to put up a decent lead with the popular vote because, you know, as we know, the California vote comes in rather slowly. And on election night, we thought that President Obama's margin in 12 was far smaller than it really turned out to be.
Kyle, expecting an electoral college debate in our near future?
Yeah, but you know, the change to the electoral college process is something that is a fire in the flash pan. I just don't see it like sparking anything beyond people grumbling for a month or two. Like Susan said, in 2000, Al Gore lost and we got over it. I mean, this is a debate that needs to happen. Electoral college, really, if you get down to it, is pretty stupid. But there's got to be a political will to do something about it. And there probably isn't going to be a lot of political will in Florida, Ohio, Pennsylvania. Those states actually made the election here. In Michigan, we tried it. Folks who tried to get rid of the Electoral College here or run out on a rail, we kind of like it because it preserves some power in Michigan, makes us a lot more powerful than other states.
It's amazing to consider how recently Republicans were wringing their hands over a Trump effect on down-ticket candidates. It seemed to turn out the opposite. Were Michigan Republicans riding on Donald Trump's coattails?
Oh, they certainly were. I mean, what we saw is that basically the dynamics in the state house, which, you know, was the primary thing to watch down ballot here, you know, it stays at the 63-seat level, which is a real high point for them. Actually, a Democratic incumbent down in Monroe, Bill Lavoie, lost a seat, but that was made up by Darren Camilleri, who won an open seat downriver in Wayne County. So that has huge implications for Republicans and certainly must be making Democrats feel rather antsy about 2018 when the governor's mansion will be open. All the statewide offices, most of the Senate, and, you know, another third of the House. That was a year that Democrats were really hoping that they could make some headway. And, of course, you know, that's in the run-up to the redistricting process that we'll all be happily going through in 2021.
Mm-hmm. We will take another look at 2018 here and what last night's results mean for 2018 here in Michigan in just a minute. I'm talking with Susan J. Demas of Inside Michigan Politics and MERS News' Kyle Malin about Michigan the morning after the general election. One big takeaway with our coverage last night here on WKAR, this was with Tom Shields and Dennis Denno. It's undeniably big that the Republicans retake the White House, and it's not just the other party. It's the other party under a guy who's never held elective office and with all of the controversial baggage that Donald Trump has. But you run down the list of Michigan congressional districts, what names do you see? Bishop, Wahlberg, Amash, Molinar, Huizenga, and Kildee, Conyers, and Levin. For all that's about to change at the White House, what has changed among the Michigan congressional delegation, Kyle? It appears not much.
Well, on a party level, no, nothing changed at all. It's still going to be 9-5 Republicans as it was yesterday. The only difference is that we do have two new members that will be joining. Jack Bergman in the 1st Congressional District will succeed Dan Benishek, who decided not to run again. And we've got Paul Mitchell is going to be the new congressman out of the 10th Congressional District to succeed Candace Miller, who opted not to run again. Instead, won a convincing victory for Macomb County Public Works Commissioner, joining other Republicans I just found out who also won in Macomb County last night.
What do you make of the Bergman win, Susan?
Well, that race was looking very close, but in the end, Donald Trump was just a huge boon to him, as well as Republican candidates for the state house. The Democrats were looking at three seats up there, and their hopes were just completely dashed because Donald Trump's numbers were very impressive in those rural areas. If you look at northern Michigan, it's just a sea of red. There's couple specks of blue, but, you know, it looks very similar to the 2010 map when, you know, it was another Republican landslide year.
Let's turn our focus to the Michigan State House and try to unpack what happened among 110 or so state house races. The GOP retains control. Again, not much seems to have changed. What do you see, Kyle?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I think as Susan just said, I mean, we had two changes of note. We had one Democratic incumbent lose in the Monroe area, and we had De'Aaron Camilleri win in the Downriver area. So it was a flop. The Republicans took one. The Democrats lost, gained one. And so we still have a 63-47 majority. All the vulnerable incumbents that were up that everyone was worried about, Brant Eyden or Holly Hughes or Tom Barrett, John Bison, they all won. And then on the Republican side in these open districts that we thought, well, maybe the Democrats will win some, Republicans will win some, and the Democrats will gain five seats when it all comes out in the wash. Well, they didn't gain anything. Instead, we saw Republicans up and down the ballot, Macomb County up north. Just the power of Donald Trump in those areas really drove home the nail for the Republicans.
The 71st district was expected to be close. It was really tight 2 years ago, not maybe as tight as we expected. The Lansing State Journal reporting today that Tom Barrett wins with, unofficially here, 54% of the vote. Any thoughts on that, Susan?
Yeah, this is a 50-50 district outside of Lansing, and Tom Barrett proved that he is the candidate that Republicans said he was. He's very good on the doors. He was good at raising money. Teresa Abbott turned out to be not as good of a candidate as people had hoped. She had a record to run on, which was used against her. She's just not as personable as Tom Barrett is. So, you know, he benefited from, I think, Trump not being the albatross that people were counting on in this district, and the fact that, you know, he worked. I think probably more surprising is out in Battle Creek, where you had John Bison, who's a physician, a moderate Republican, very good candidate, facing a lawyer and county commissioner, Jim Hodzma, who, you know, had raised a lot of money, had former Congressman Mark Schauer in his corner. Nobody knows the district like Mark. I think where things went south for Jim Hodzma was missing African-American voters again, even though that district is 56% Democratic. So, I mean, the Democrats could not have hit worse luck. But then again, we were seeing this in 2014, too. There were a lot of very close races. And all of those close races, all of those contested races broke towards the Republicans. So there's a real issue here.
Battle Creek likes its physicians. We call it the Joe effect here.
I think the more significant thing here is that these districts were drawn for Republicans. And when the race is 50-50 like it was today, I mean, you're just not going to get any closer of a top-of-the-ticket race 50-50 here. They're going to go for the Republicans. You know, you look up in the Upper Peninsula, for example, that's drawn for Republicans. These districts up north, drawn for Republicans. The Battle Creek one is a bit of an anomaly because that does have a Democratic base. And if anybody should have lost, it should have been John Bison. But even he survived, you know, any kind of Democratic onslaught. And I guess it just goes to show you that all things being equal, these districts held and Republicans got the districts that they drew back in 2011. And they're going to have majority again because of it.
Kyle Malin of MERS News, Susan J. Demas of Inside Michigan Politics on Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Here is Tom Barrett talking to WKAR's Kevin Lavery late last night in Delta Township. Tom Barrett comments about how he won.
You had a pretty healthy lead most of the night, but a lot of that was from the rural part of Eaton County. You were concerned about taking places like Grand Ledge and Delta Township. Grand Ledge was a place that you had lost 2 years ago.
Yes, and it looks like we've won Grand Ledge this year. I'm certainly proud of that accomplishment. And I think it shows that people have become more comfortable with me. You know, I had never held political office before I was elected 2 years ago, so I think I have a track record of success now, and I think that showed in the results that we saw tonight.
So does this tell you that you have a clear mandate from the people of the 71st as to what to do?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so.
And here he is again talking about his agenda in term number two.
Well, it's what I talked about during my campaign, continuing to work on veteran issues, continuing to balance our state budget, continuing to bring more and better jobs to Michigan, and trying to work on our auto no-fault insurance rates in our state that are the highest in the country.
Closer to Lansing, the status remains quo, as they say. Shore, Cochran, Singh, Tom Leonard all return to office. Is Brandon Dillon in the Michigan Democratic Party, I'm hearing you suggest that they are pretty much right back where they started, looking for leverage somewhere?
In terms of legislation or?
Just in terms of an electoral lift, some kind of electoral advantage somewhere.
Well, they've got to go all in for 2018. What they really need to do is win the governor's mansion. And, you know, I think right now it's looking a lot less likely. But, you know, you can always hope that there will be a backlash to Republicans running everything in Washington. And maybe you can at least have a check on power there. Because trying to win anything at the state Senate and the state House, really to win majorities there, that really looks like a pipe dream.
Kyle?
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, I mean, the backlash is a very real possibility in 2018. I mean, you consider Barack Obama did so well in 2008, only to get the Republicans just dominated Democrats that next election cycle in 2010. So it's entirely possible the Democrats could come back in 2018, especially if Trump does some very unpopular things, which I don't think is outside the realm of possibility here. And Democrats got to take advantage of that. And just the general feeling that you can campaign on the ills of Governor Snyder this time. You can campaign on Flint, on the veterans' homes. You can campaign on Detroit public schools. There's a lot of things you can go, the emergency manager, all these things you can finally campaign on, and it's not overshadowed by Trump. And then you could actually instead just kind of compound the issues if Trump is completely unpopular.
To summarize, we were joking before we went to air that the loser of the day may well be Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly for 2018.
Well, Brian Kelly actually endorsed Donald Trump somewhat early on, all considering it was kind of a midnight post on Facebook. But, you know, you take what you can get. And, you know, he's a good foot soldier, a good Republican. His wife just won a seat in the state House. After that infamous Access Hollywood tape where you had Donald Trump bragging about sexually assaulting women, Brian Kelly was one of those Republicans who took a real step back. He is a conservative Christian, and he said that he was withdrawing his endorsement. A lot of the Republicans who did that came crawling back as Trump's numbers seemed to go up in the polls. Brian Kelly was not one of them. And so when he is looking at 2018, you better believe that other Republicans, especially the party apparatus, is going to be giving him quite a hard time about that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on Bill Schuette, the attorney general. What do you think about Donald Trump? Do you condone his comments? Do you condone his actions, groping of women in crude language and so on and so forth? And it was radio silence from Bill Schuette. He got the heck away. But, you know, kept showing up at the Trump rallies. He was there in Grand Rapids in the middle of the night on Monday, Tuesday morning. I mean, he never shied away from Trump. He didn't necessarily embrace him with both arms, but he didn't run away like Kelly did. And I think that's going to endear him to Republicans next year and the year after.
What a balance. What a tightrope walk. So many tightrope walks we've seen. I think about Paul Ryan. As Speaker of the House, and how in the world he's going to navigate a relationship with the next president.
I will say that Schuette is not quite as well positioned as he could be. He did back Jeb Bush in the primary, was a huge supporter. He's a family friend, and nobody's more establishment than Jeb Bush. He also had difficulty saying the word Trump. Go back and look at Schuette's transcripts. You're not going to see Trump maybe anywhere, even on social media. So there will be a contingency within the Republican Party that will want a real Trump guy or girl to run for office in 2018 to be the governor. So I think that's a dynamic that has not played out yet.
We've got a Lansing area guy who, from what I hear, will become the next Speaker of the House, Tom Leonard of DeWitt. You've both had a chance to observe him and get to know him. What kind of speaker will he be, Kyle?
Well, I think he's going to be a lot more conservative than Kevin Cotter. And I think he's going to be a bit more politically savvy as well. I think you're going to see somebody who is a little bit more in tune with dynamics and what plays well in certain districts. Kevin Cotter was, I think, more of a kind of a conservative by the book, a bit of an, I wouldn't say an ideologue, but I would say that politics wasn't necessarily his main interest or his strong suit, whereas I think Tom Leonard is much more of a political beast and really, I think, was kind of the political machine behind the scenes for Cotter anyway. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of change in the House. I'm going to be interested to see how he works with Democrats now, especially since Tim Grimmel, the House Minority Leader, has announced he will not seek another term as Minority Leader. So we'll see what kind of dynamics break down with those caucuses. I would hope that they are a little better. I think this past term was extremely frosty.
Susan, any thoughts on the next speaker?
I think that there are high hopes for Leonard because, you know, privately, a lot of people in the lobbying corps and the business community, although they may have liked Cotter's politics, they did not think that he really knew how to maneuver the office. They did not like the Corser-Gamrat affair, how that was handled. And I think they're looking for somebody who's a bit more of a political pro. And, you know, Tom Leonard is old friends with Brian Kelly. He knows the way things work.
We touched on this earlier, but let's talk about turnout here and just get your thoughts here. What, if anything, can we determine about turnout last night? Is there any sign that Democrats failed to turn out?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think Democrats turned out in a good number, and we haven't seen everything, so the analysis is still yet to be written. I think the story will be that Republicans who have not voted before in quite some time, or just voters who haven't voted in quite some time, they don't necessarily have had to have been Republicans, came out and voted. And I think that's going to be the key. That's why I think the polls were off. There was a contingent of people who were so enamored by Trump's message that they finally said, you know what, I'm actually going to go vote now. And they may not have voted for years, but they came out and voted in this one. And I don't know if that makes them Republicans necessarily. That just makes them Trump supporters, and the Republicans were just the beneficiaries of that.
I take a little issue with that because, I mean, the numbers in Wayne County were definitely down for Democrats. I think it's pretty clear that African-American turnout was down. If Hillary Clinton hit numbers that other Democrats had, including John Kerry, she would have carried the state.
Kyle.
And I hear what Susan's saying, and I would concur that the numbers in Wayne County were down compared to the last presidential election. But we didn't have an African-American running at the top of the ticket like you did in 2010 and 2000 or in 8
and 12.
You know, in those cases, that was something that was going to accelerate turnout. And, you know, Hillary Clinton didn't excite people in that same way. But I think that's to be expected.
Here's a question that's already come back to me many, many times. How will this crop of Michigan Republican congressmen and women, is there a Republican woman in Congress?
No,
I don't think
not
so.
Anymore.
No. Not after Candace Miller. And Republicans in similar circumstances across the country, what are your thoughts on how the Congress will work with a Trump administration?
Well, you know, we have a couple of interesting dynamics. Actually, Democrats nationally did pick up a few seats, so it wasn't this total red tide. You also have Paul Ryan, who had very public clashes with Donald Trump. He is, of course, the speaker, and there is a meeting being scheduled this week to determine what they want to do for leadership, and he has to see just how strong his support is. So that's one of the more fascinating things that is going to evolve rather quickly.
Last word, Kyle.
Well, just that the Senate is not filibuster-proof. The Democrats still have a chance to filibuster something if they don't like something. So it's not like Republicans can jam anything through that they want, but they're still going to have the run of the show for sure.
I'm not sure we'll see the filibuster for too long.
We are grateful for both of you being here on an extraordinary morning after. Susan Demas is publisher and editor of Inside Michigan Politics. Kyle Malin at MERS News. Have a great day, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.